every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. I am bound for the kingdom, will you go to glory with me? Alleluia, praise the Lord. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home.
Come thou, every blessed, to my heart, to thy grace.
Streams of mercy never ceasing,
call for songs of loudest praise.
Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. I am bound for the kingdom, will you go to glory with me? Alleluia, praise the Lord. I am bound for the kingdom, will you go to glory with me? Alleluia, praise the Lord.
I hope you had a good Thanksgiving as well. Colossians chapter 1 tonight, Colossians 1. Good to see everyone with us tonight. Colossians chapter 1, thank you gentlemen for the song this evening. One of the best loved hymns of the faith is "It Is Well With My Soul," written by Horatio Spafford. Mr. Spafford, a wealthy businessman in Chicago, lost much of his real estate holdings in the Great Chicago Fire. After the fire, he sent his wife and four daughters on a ship to Europe, intending to join them at a later time for a time of rest, as well as to assist Mr. Moody and Sankey with a great revival in Great Britain. But on the voyage, it was struck with disaster. Spafford received this cable from his wife with this painful message: saved alone. His whole family had perished in an accident. Spafford quickly made arrangements to join his wife, and when they reached the spot where his daughters had drowned, Spafford marked the spot and that sad event with these words of hope: "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrow, like sea, billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." These are powerful words written in the midst of pain and tragedy, and it can help us to know how we can endure hardship and suffering today. So the end that we see, or what we see, may not be the end in God's plan. And what you're facing today, maybe God has you going through that for a greater purpose than you may even know about today. And we can say, it is well with our soul. There's so many questions that surround our lives each and every day. Sometimes we look at the multitude of questions that are facing us and the magnitude of the questions that face us. And when we do so, many times we get our eyes off of Jesus Christ. And when we look at the questions instead of the answer, let me tell you something, you'll get disturbed. But the answer to all the questions that you may have is Jesus the Christ. We find that Jesus is the solution. He is the one that we need in every facet of life here in the book of Colossians. Now, verse 9 begins one of the longest sentences in all of the Bible. It goes all the way down to verse 17. We're going to look at just the first third of this verse, this long sentence today. And as we consider this passage tonight, I think of that Bible Truth Music song, I Will Go On, I Believe God Can. What a good song that the choir sings sometime, that is. Look, if you would, in these verses, beginning in verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And then the sentence continues. But the focus of our message is verses 9 through 11. The Apostle Paul is in Rome and he's in prison. And Epaphras has come and let him know the condition of the church, their problems and their praise and the things that was going on. And so he's writing back some answers and he gives to us Jesus as the solution to their relational needs, to the emotional needs that they have. And He's the same answer and solution for us tonight. And friends, as we look at this passage, we have the strength to go on. We have the strength to go on. It's the power of God working in us no matter what we face. As we're walking with Christ, we're filled with the Spirit. We have His power to endure and to continue and to press on with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get your eyes on the questions and eyes off of the Savior. But tonight, focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and know this, we can live in the power of God. We have His strength to carry on. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. And as we look at this passage, Father, we pray that You would teach us. May Your word impact our lives. May Your Spirit guide us. May we make decisions that honor You with our lives and daily living. Increase our faith and challenge each one here. Oh, there are many needs. We pray that You would meet those needs according to Your perfect plan and will. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Three areas that we see His power in our life. Now, if we capture these truths, and if we capture our thoughts and our mind with these truths, it will impact your life. We'll find it in a great way. And application-wise, as we go through this message, we have available the power of God not only to face each day, but to live each day. Look, if you would, here's a man in prison. He's writing to some believers, many of which will be persecuted in future moments. And notice what he says in verse 9, that we can live in the power of God, and we know and can know His will, the will of God. Look at it. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, remember the testimony this morning, their great faith, their love, their hope. He heard about their trusting in the truth of the gospel and their walk with the Lord. He said, we heard about it. Do not cease to pray for you. And here was his prayer, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his, what's the word? Will. Four-letter word. W-I-L-L. Will. You can pray for the will of God. You know that? You can find the will of God. You can fulfill the will of God in your life. As the Apostle Paul, he had never met these individuals. He had met some of them like Epaphras and just a few others, but the church as a whole, he had not seen them face to face. And he said, I'm praying for you that you would find, that you would know, that you would discover, that you would do the will of God. We can do the will of God tonight. Filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Know this tonight, you can pray for God's will. I believe that each of us should take a moment every day. Lord, would You show me what is Your will today? What would You have me to do?
What would you have me to say? How should I conduct myself? This decision that I'm making, would you show to me what your will is? We need to pray. We need to ask. And if somebody stands back and says, I don't know what God wants me to do. Listen, I wouldn't just say, I don't know. I would start asking, Lord, why don't I know? Lord, would you show me your will? We should ask for it. Paul is asking on their behalf. You can pray for God's will. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, this is the will of God. Even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. So we know some things that are the will of God, that we're different in this world, that we abstain from iniquity and fornication, that sexual type sin, that we would be pure before the Lord. This is the general will of God. How about 1 Thessalonians 5:18? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. It's God's will that we rejoice. It's God's will that we praise the Lord. It's God's will that we say thank you, the Lord God Almighty. And we can say that every single day. We should pray for God's will. Lord, will you show me your will today? You can plan for God's will. Paul was planning, and this church and these church members were planning, not just to know about God's will, but they wanted to fulfill God's will. For example, you can plan for God's will. A parent who is teaching a child faithfulness is planning ahead and helping their child plan ahead. Here's how to be faithful. Here's how to be consistent. Here's how to be disciplined in your walk with the Lord. They are planning ahead on behalf of the child. A father or a mother who is teaching their child to remain pure is planning ahead. They can have a family that honors the Lord. They can please the Lord in their relationship today and tomorrow. You can plan for God's will. An individual who is choosing right over wrong is planning ahead. Here's the choice that I have. I have some wrong over here, or I have some right. My flesh wants to do what's wrong. My spirit wants to do what's right. And if you choose what's right, you are planning ahead for whatever God would have you to do. A person following the daily will of God is being prepared for the bigger picture. So you read your Bible every day. Well, I want to make a big impact in this world. Well, just keep coming to church every week. Keep praying. Keep witnessing. Keep taking these little tickets and give them out. I've given out a lot this week. I hope that you have as well. And you say, well, I want to make a big difference in this world. Just do the daily thing. Do the daily thing. And maybe one day you'll make a big difference like you are thinking about. But don't focus on that. Do the daily thing that God wants for you to do. You can plan for God's will, and you can perform God's will. Look in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Not only was he praying for them to know the will of God, and not only were they planning to fulfill the will of God, they could, and we can as well, perform the will of God. God doesn't say, hey, just go do this and leave us stranded. He doesn't do that. He's given wisdom and he's given understanding. And you can live in the wisdom and understanding of Almighty God. In all wisdom. The word wisdom has to do with worldly or spiritual wisdom. We would look at it as practical living. The word wisdom here has to do with practical, everyday wisdom. The next phrase, spiritual understanding, the word spirit, the rich word is pneuma, which has to do with the Holy Spirit of God. It's non-carnal, so it's not of this body. It's ethereal or supernatural. It's something that is religious or spiritual. So he says, not only can you have this practical wisdom for today, but you can have this spiritual, this otherworldly, if you would, understanding. And this word understanding means a mental putting together. Intelligence or intellect, knowledge, understanding. So we have practical, here's how to live, and we have something supernatural that the Spirit of God puts in us as we are filled with the Spirit of God. You can have spiritual understanding. We need the spiritual understanding. Here's a good way to look at it. Pascal said this about maxims. All good maxims have been written. It only remains to put them into practice. So you can have a lot of wisdom. Here's how to live today. You can have a lot of spiritual understanding. I know what God wants me to do, but it won't mean anything unless you do it. Isn't that right? These people were being consumed with, we know this, we know that, and they were starting to be puffed up with pride about their knowledge and their great understanding of the Lord, and they forgot about His grace, and they forgot about His love, and they forgot about how to live with one another, and they started to, because of their pride, think, well, I'm better than so-and-so church member, and I know more than so-and-so down the street, and they started to live that way, and therefore all the relationship struggles that Paul addresses later in the book. And so it's not all about our knowledge and being built up, it's about God giving us that knowledge and making a practical application of it. We can know His will. It's one thing to know what God wants you to do, and it's a totally other thing to actually do it. There's a big difference between the two. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. I love that. As he begins in chapter 1, you need to do God's will. By the time you get to chapter 4, he says, your pastor's been preaching to you, and he said, I want you to know, you can mature, you can complete, you can fulfill the will of God. Isn't that good news? I mean, that is good news. There are young people here today, and you're trying to decide, what does God want me to do with my life? And it may seem like a struggle, it may seem like a difficulty because of the peer pressure at school, maybe a lack of parental support. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we could face, even in a church, a young person. You can fulfill the will of God. You can fulfill the will of God. Sir Francis Drake, after he had sailed around the world, he came beside the Thames River, and when he had passed Gravesend, a little town there, came a storm which threatened the ship. And this brave commander said, what? Go around the world safely and then get drowned in a ditch? Never. He was determined just to go ahead and make it. And we need to be determined with the power of God. We have His strength to fulfill the will of God. If you just say, well, I'm going to do it, you need the strength of God. You're going to fulfill the will of God. You need to find it and by His power fulfill it. It's by His strength, the power of Christ dwelling and living in you. So His will. How about this? The strength to go on in His walk. This walk with the Lord. Look in verse 10, if you would. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, what does this walk with God look like? It begins with pleasing God. That's why he says at the first part of this verse that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. We can please God in our daily walk with Christ. You've heard this statement. Only two choices on the shelf. Pleasing God or pleasing self. You can fill that in. What are you going to choose? Please God or please self. Friends, tonight, He is worthy of this walk. He is worthy for us to please Him with this life dedicated to Him. In 1 Thessalonians 4:11, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. You see, God is worthy. And we exhort the Lord, we exalt Christ as we walk with Him. He is worthy of this walk. He is wonderful in this walk. He's given us His Word to guide us. It's like a GPS, this global positioning satellite system. It's right here. It's the Bible. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so God is wonderful in this walk. He doesn't say, well, there you go. He says, here's the way to go. And He gives us some direction. And He's given us not only His Word, but His Spirit to energize us. And so the Spirit of God is in us. He dwells within us. The Spirit of the living God dwells in you and myself as a believer tonight. And He's given His people to edify us. After all, the Bible says two are better than one. One falls down. What happens? The other can help him back up. And so we have His Word. We have His Spirit. We have other believers in our local church that can encourage us and help us along the way. The Lord is wonderful in this walk. And he's the winner in this walk. He's the winner in this. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Some have called this the trophies of grace passage. Look in verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, before you jump ahead in your thoughts and think, well, I'm the prize. You know, Christ, he won me. I'm a real prize. That's not what it's talking about. It's what God has done in us that makes us so incredibly important to the Lord. That's how we get to heaven. It's not because of our righteousness or our goodness. Don't think of it as us, the prize, but we're trophies of his grace, meaning his grace, which is exalting of the Lord. You see, without God's grace, we're no good. We wouldn't be saved, for by grace are you saved through faith. And so know this tonight, trophies of grace. We're redeemed by Christ. We are cleansed by Christ. We are forgiven by Christ. And so this walk is one of pleasing God. This walk is one of bearing fruit. Notice the next part of this verse. We're walking in this worthy walk of the Lord, well, unto all well-pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Fruitful, bearing fruit. When you think about a plant starting to bud, and then a blossom comes out, and then fruit comes onto the plant, it's coming to completion, isn't it? It's being fruitful. It's seeing what was started with the seed coming out in the plant itself. So maybe you have apples, or you have corn, or wheat, or whatever you plant, maybe tomatoes, you could think about that. And so bearing fruit, completion, getting it done, starting and finishing, bearing fruit. How many times do we start something and not finish? You know what I'm talking about? When the Lord talks about bearing fruit, it's not just about a seed springing up and then doing nothing. It's coming to completion. It's bearing fruit. There's something that concludes that with the fruit being on the tree or on the branch. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21 says, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so working in you that which is well-pleasing. And there's something that God is completing in us. Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Are you glad for that tonight? What God starts in us, he wants to finish. I'm thankful for that. Look back in Ephesians, if you would, because this is what God has called us to tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Maybe you haven't memorized. It's a good verse to know. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship. Who started the work in us? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's going to complete the work in us? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good. What's the word? Works. Works. What's our passage in Colossians? Unto every good work. Unto every good work. So unto every good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This walk includes pleasing God, and this walk includes bearing fruit. Are you a fruit-bearing Christian? In your walk, do you see the fruit of the Spirit? And then secondly, do you see people around you trusting Christ? Listen, you will never see someone trust Christ if you're not planting the seed of the Word of God. You can walk in the Spirit all the time, but by the way, if you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to be giving out the seed of the Word. If you're really going to be filled with the Spirit, you're going to be telling other people about Jesus Christ. A lot of times we want to sit back and soak up, but the Bible says that we're to give out to God. And what we receive in church, what we read in the Bible, we need to tell it to other people. Otherwise, we will not bear fruit. What are we to do? We're to be more like Jesus in Ephesians 2:10. There's that living aspect, and we're exalting God, and there's that winning aspect of evangelizing. Just be like Jesus, living and winning like Jesus Christ. That's bearing fruit that we need to have in our life. This walk includes pleasing God and bearing fruit. How about knowing God? Look, if you would, at the last phrase, and increasing in the knowledge of God, there in verse 10. If I am not increasing in my knowledge of God, I am stagnant spiritually. Have you ever seen a pond that has been dammed up and there's no water flow anywhere in it, and water just keeps going in, but no water goes out, no water flow at all, and it gets really stagnant? When that happens, it becomes putrid, and things start to smell bad, and things start to look ugly, and plants start to die, and animals don't want to live in it because it's stagnant. It's gross. It's no good. Friends, if we just kind of plateau and we're not growing spiritually and we're not knowing God in a greater way each day, you know, our lives aren't all that they should be when we live like that. If I'm not increasing in my knowledge of God, I am at risk for an increase in emotional turmoil in my life. Folks, God is about our life and peace and grace and mercy and love and truth and contentment. And if I know God less each day, I'm more prone to walk in the flesh, right? I'm more susceptible then to be overly emotional and not spiritual, and I'll start to make decisions that are just no good. I'll start to have relational and emotional turmoil in my life. But knowing Jesus is the solution to my greatest need. All around us, you can think about people. In your mind, you'll know people like this, and they'll run after the stuff of life, and they're looking for contentment. And they're looking for peace. They're looking for meaning in their life, fulfillment. But the things that they're searching for, it leaves them empty. Christ is the solution that they need. Folks, the next hit of drugs will wear off. The 270-inch TV will get old. I guess they will make them like that someday. The newest game will stop working. The new job will grow old. And a spouse could lose her appeal. The person living selfishly. You can look for all those things and say, I want. But it's going to lose its appeal. Because of this statement, it's a good statement. Selfish living gets bored with the stuff of life. Selfish living gets bored with the stuff of life. Very fast. That's a good one to write down in the Bible. Because the world is racing after all the stuff, this next relationship, and this next hit, and this next exciting thing, but it's unfulfilling. Oh, maybe in a moment it gratifies, but does not satisfy long term. But knowing God can. Friends, tonight, much of our struggle, even as Christians, stems from a lack of knowing God. In a church, absolutely. Much of our emotional struggle, relational issues that we face, stems from not knowing God better each day. Because if we knew the Lord better each day, that's going to opposite direction. There would be much more contentment, grace, peace. We can show love, forgiveness, and all the things we can show. Examine your life tonight. And are you closer to God? You know Him in a greater way. This walk includes pleasing God. You're going to walk with God. You've got to please Him. Bearing fruit. You've got to be fruit bearers. And knowing God in a greater way. We can look in verse 11 that we're empowered by God in this walk, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, and according or unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. So we're strengthened and empowered by God with all might, and we're exalting to the Lord in verse 12, and we can give thanks to God, giving thanks the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. And we'll look at these verses, those two, in a greater way another time. But they still are applicable here to the walk. And so we know His will. We're empowered to do His will. We are empowered to walk with Christ. And also, we're empowered to do His work. It's His work in us. Look at verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness and giving of thanks. His work. This is the work of His power working in us. And what does this work result in? Simply put, good attitude. God working in us, a good attitude. We could look at the Beatitudes, and maybe we'll look at it at another time. But let's just begin with this word, patience. Patience. Maybe you've heard of the doctor who lost all of his patience because he had none. My dad used to say that all the time. And we don't want to do that. Lose all of our patience. And we want to be a patient people. Patience means cheerful or endurance, consistency, someone that's enduring. Friends, tonight, because of His work, His power in us, we can be consistent no matter the circumstance. We can have a cheerful endurance no matter the occasion. But listen tonight. Well, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to do it. Not good enough. Not good enough. You need power of God. To be patient with other people. To be patient with the disease and sickness that we face. To be patient with the diseases and sickness and the decisions, rather, that we have. Young people, I just want to grow up. We need to be patient. I just want to get to that my job. I need to be patient. I just want to get married. We need to be patient. I just want to know what God wants me to do with my life. In the greater picture, be patient. Do the daily thing with the will of God. God will show you the greater thing. Patience. Your patience is not good enough. It must be the patience of God's power. By the way, here's a great application for patience. Because the world says, get it now. The world says, go for self-gratification right now. But if we're patient and we're waiting on God's power and we are waiting rather than immediately satisfying or gratifying ourselves, then drugs won't have their appeal. Immorality will not have their appeal. Drinking will not have to control us. Listen, the immediate fades away to the patient. The immediate fades away to the patient. We have His power to overcome addiction. If there's something that you're addicted to, you have His power to overcome that addiction. It could be a substance. It could be just a pattern of thinking. You have the power. Has this chair bothered you? Listen, I think I'll preach better if this chair is over here. Looks better, doesn't it? That's called a process addiction. I just have to have everything just so and so, and everything will be all right. That's a process. That's a thinking pattern that's faulty and it's wrong. That chair doesn't even have to be there, and we'd be all right. Isn't that right? Okay. So there could be an addiction or something that's controlling you, and you haven't even thought about it. But we don't have to succumb to the immediate. You see, in Christ, we can be patient. Well, I'm just going to help myself, and I'm not going to take the drug anymore. I'm not going to watch that anymore. I'm not going to go out with that person anymore. I'm just going to do it. You won't make it. You won't make it. Christ is the one and the only one who is sufficient in moments like that. Christ is the only one who can give you the power to overcome those temptations that you face. Patience. How about long suffering? It's similar to the word patient. It's part of the definition for long suffering. I don't know if it's a proper way to define a word by reversing the word, but suffering long is a good way to state this, long suffering. Longanimity is actually a word that's part of this definition. Forbearance, fortitude, long suffering, patience. This is continuing in spite of suffering. Well, there's some intense suffering. I'm going through some pain right now. Well, you can keep going by the power of God. I mean, I have some emotional struggles right now. This relationship, he did this, she said that, they ran away. You can endure that only by the power of God. It's long-suffering, ongoing in the face of opposition. When the people at work are making fun of you and they're mocking you and you're wondering if the people over there in the department are overpassing you because of your faith, you know what? You can keep long-suffering. You can just keep on going. We have His strength to carry on. Christ is our greatest example. We have His power to resolve relationships and to keep going on. I heard of a missionary who depended on her monthly check from the mission board but she did not receive that mission check that particular month. And she fell seriously ill that month, and because of no money, all she had to eat there at her place of living was oatmeal and canned milk. She received the check 30 days later. After mentioning this incident while on furlough to a doctor, he asked about the nature of her illness. And she described this intestinal digestive trouble, and she said how she had been hurting and different things. And he said, if your check had arrived on time and you had been eating your current diet, he said, you'd be dead today. He said, if I was treating you, I would have prescribed to you milk and oatmeal. God knew ahead of time, and it seemed like a trial to her, that she was suffering long, but God had something greater. He was sparing her life. You may not know why this is happening right now. And friends, you really don't need to know. We can trust the Lord. We can keep looking at Him. We can suffer long. We can be patient. It's His power working in us that brings us to the last one, which is joyfulness. So long-suffering, patience, and joyfulness. Cheerfulness, calmness, delight, gladness, and great joy, joyfulness. We can have peace and joy in the midst of the storm of this life. All of us will have storms of different magnitudes at different times. We have His power to obey His will and to walk in His path. This is where true joy is found, being right with God. You know, a Christian who's been out of church for a while or been away from God, a Christian that's been running with the world, there's a lot of guilt there. If you're really a believer, God's chastening, He's giving guilt, the Holy Spirit's working on their life, and they don't have any true joy. All this sin may be joyful for a season, the Bible even tells us that, but they do not have real joy. We are strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, and it's all patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness. This is where true joy is found, in being right with God. Nehemiah 8:10, I love this verse. He said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. They were having a celebration. Neither be ye sorry, for the Lord, or for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy does so much. Isn't joy and laughter, isn't that like medicine? The Bible speaks about that like medicine. There's marvelous medicinal power, the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon, declared. Medicinal power in joy. Most medicines are distasteful, but this, which is the best of all medicines, is sweet to the taste and comforting to the heart. This blessed joy is very contagious. One dolorous spirit brings a kind of plague into the house. One person who is wretched seems to stop all the birds from singing wherever he goes. You ever notice that? You have a rain cloud type person. There are a lot of those people around sometimes. But the grace of joy is contagious. Holy joy will oil the wheels of your life's machinery. Holy joy will strengthen you for daily labor. Holy joy will beautify you and give you an influence over the life of Pretense Henderson, man who lived to be 100 years old. He lived through the Great Depression. He fought in World War II. He buried his wife. He did not retire until he was in his 70s. And he taught Sunday school to the 7th grade boys for over 30 years at his church. He had this simple philosophy. He said, I chose to be happy. Through the Great Depression, through war, through his wife of many years passing away, he said, I chose be happy. His daughter testified that he was always positive regardless of the situation. Friends, I'm here to tell you today, because of that outlook, this man influenced his family for generations to come. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Well, I'm just going to be happy. I'm going to do it. Again, it all goes back to it's His power. It's His work in I can go on. I believe God can. Absolutely. With the power of God, you can go on. We can live in the power of God and fulfill His will and follow His walk and complete His work, see His work by His power complete in us. David Livingstone was a Scottish missionary an explorer who spent 33 years in the heart of Africa. He endured much suffering as he labored to spread the gospel and open the continent to missionaries. This godly missionary once remarked, "People talk of the sacrifice I have made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice, which is simply paid back a small part of a great debt owing to our God, which we can never repay? It is emphatically no sacrifice." He went on to say, "Rather, it is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, or danger now and then, with a foregoing of the common conveniences and charities of this life, may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and the soul to sink. But let this only be for a moment. All these are nothing when compared with the glory which shall be hereafter be revealed in us and for us." He said, "I never made a sacrifice. I never made a sacrifice." Of this, we ought to not to talk when we remember the great sacrifice which he made, who left his Father's throne on high to give himself for us. Let's look at our lives the same way. By God's grace, let's live daily in the power of God. We can have the power to go on, whatever you're facing. God help you today. Let's bow our heads together for a time of invitation. Thank you for your good attention. Are you patient today? Or are you living for the moment? When temptation comes, do you fall down to that temptation? Or are you patient? You say, "Pastor Harness, God has challenged me that I would be patient. Sometimes I tend to go after the immediate, what I want right now. But with God's help, I want to be that patient Christian that God wants me to be." Is there anyone like that? Raise your hand. God spoke to you about that. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Good. Amen. That's really practical. Today, when you think about the shots that people do, buy it now. Buy it now. Well, let's be patient. Let's wait a minute. Our second question is this. Can you endure one more day? Well, I'm in a lot of pain. This relationship is a big struggle. By God's help, God's challenged you. I want to endure. I just want to keep going on, whatever it is that I'm facing, whatever decision or choice it is. I just want to keep pressing on to the glory of my faith. Is that you today? Just raise your hand. God bless you. He's mother. Amen. God bless you. Good. How about the joy of the Lord? Is it evident? Oh, I hope that it is. Perhaps in our invitation time, if you have not had the joy of the Lord, why don't you come and pray? Say, "Lord, give me that joy back." That enthusiasm when I first trusted Christ, that zeal and that love for you, I want that joy to be evident. How about God's will? If tonight you say, "I'm excited because I know I can pray for God's will. With God's help, I'm going to ask for it, for him to show me God's grace, and what he fulfills his will." There are many people, young and old alike, we all need to find God's will. Say, "God spoke to you about his will, fulfilling his will." That's you, which raise your hand, and I'm saying, again, many hands. God bless you. Thank you. And then finally, this last question, you're walking in front. Other people can see it. Your family members know it. Deep down in your heart, you know it. By walking with Christ, am I following after myself, what I want? If God spoke to you about walking with Christ, why not get that right for the Lord tonight? Whatever God's doing in your heart and life, would you respond to that in your invitation time? Father, we thank you for your word. We've considered this passage. You taught us so much. Help us to respond how you would have us.